sung in every church in America at some point over this next couple of weeks. And unlike last week, we talked about O Holy Night that had a very definitive original starting point that we could pinpoint in history and say, we know when this song was first written or this song was first played. This song is quite different. In fact, no one knows how this song came about. There's several people that have taken credit and claim for writing this song. John Francis Wade back in the 1700s. There's parts written that appears by him. There's John Redding, King John IV, John Henderson. There's all these Johns in history that have taken claim to writing this song, but we don't know where it came from. The fact that we know is that we all sing this song every Christmas season. And the thing about this song, when you start singing it, the very first line is what? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Raise your hand if that represents you every day of your life, right? I mean, you may be at certain points for some of those things, but if that's who God is calling in this song, if he's saying, hey, look, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Come on, everybody come at once. How many of us are standing up and moving forward? Because I know I'm not, right? I mean, that doesn't represent me at all. In fact, most of the time in my life, I feel the opposite of these things. Instead of feeling faithful in my life, I often feel doubtful. You know, when things I should have faith in God coming through in this situation or in this or whatever it may be, I have to admit there's doubts that happen in my heart, in my life. When we talk about, oh, come all ye joyful, I think a lot of times I feel more depressed than I feel joyful. Oh, come all ye triumphant. Man, I don't just feel doubtful and depressed. A lot of times in my life, if I'm honest, I feel defeated. Like, what's the point? Now, if God was saying, all right, come all ye doubtful, depressed, and defeated, now how many of us would stand up and come forward, right? I mean, probably almost the whole church would be up here being like, all right, that's me, I get that. And I don't know if there's a time of the year that makes us feel more doubtful, depressed, and defeated than shopping at Christmas, right? This is a story of my life, and there's probably some of you can relate. If I'm somewhere at a store and I go to buy something, inevitably it's not going to be there. Right? And so I have to kind of go with plan B. And then when I get to plan B, I'm already like, oh, I didn't get the gift I wanted, you know, or whatever. I get up to the counter and there's two lines open and they both have the same number of people. I'm going to pick one and guess which one that was going to be? The slowest. It's inevitable, right? And I'm standing in line and the other line is just flying through, right? I'm like, are they even checking people out? It's like I'm standing there forever and then the person in front of me is writing a check. I'm like, who writes checks nowadays? Or they have coupons or there's a price. Just you. You're the guy I'm mad at, Jason. And it's like, and they want price checks at Christmas. I'm like, it's only 10 cents off. You know, it's like whatever. It's like it takes forever. And so I leave the department store. There is nothing at all faithful, joyful, or triumphant for me when I'm leaving Target or wherever it is I'm leaving at Christmas. I'm feeling the complete opposite. And so when you think about this song and we sing that first verse, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Even if it's not Christmas, how many of us are really raising our hands saying, oh, that's me. I'm 3 for 3. I'm there. So it got me thinking. Is this really who God's calling? Is there really something where God is saying, all right, everyone who's faithful, everyone who's joyful, everyone who's triumphant, y'all come, come on, let's do this together. Everybody come with me. Is that really who he's calling? Because if you look in the scriptures, I don't really find that to be true. In fact, this is what I find to be true. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are what? Weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then in Matthew chapter 9, he says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners. Now what if the line was, O come all ye sinners, wearied and burdened. How many of us would stand up then and say, I'm all in? I mean, that's me, right? I mean, that represents my life more the time than joyful and faithful and triumphant. Most of the time, my life is feeling like a sinner or weak or weary. And I think that's the point of the song, and I think that's the point of the scripture. Because if we read further in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. See, when we read those, when we read that line and we sing that song, "Oh come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant," it's not about who we are in that moment coming to God. It's about that's who God wants us to become. It's about God saying, all right, if you're a sinner, if you're weary, if you're burdened in some point, if there's something that's in you that is weak, then you come and I will make you a new creation. I will make you joyful, faithful, and triumphant. It's not about us already being there. It's about God taking us from where we're at to there. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. That's exactly what I want us to look at. If we're with Jesus, Jesus helps us to become more faithful. You might say, Mike, I'm not there yet. I'm not faithful. I'm more doubtful than I am faithful. If I'm singing that song, that's not me. But that's the point. If you read the scriptures, if you look at Jesus, Jesus is coming, saying, come, those who are weary, who are burdened, who are weak, who are sinners, come to me. And Jesus says, I will help you become more faithful. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. See, I think too many times in our lives, we doubt things. You know, maybe we go from the extreme of doubting our salvation to doubting faith in God, to doubting that God's going to come through in a certain situation, healing in our lives emotionally or mentally or physically. Or maybe we doubt that God's going to be there to heal our marriage, or we doubt God's going to be there to answer a prayer about our kids, or we doubt God's going to be there to help move us on to a better job or to rescue us from our financial situation that we're in. We doubt all of those things. And so we just think, man, if I could just be more faithful. And we try our best to be faithful and create this faith within ourselves and to step out and to do things. But if our faith is not in God, then our faith is nothing. It is a vapor. We can't do it on our own. We cannot manufacture the faith in our life to get us through one day to the next. If you believe the scriptures, the only way that we can become more faithful in Christ, more faithful in life, it's through Jesus. That's it. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Faith comes from hearing the message of Christ, not by more rolling up our sleeves and doing hard work by ourselves or stepping out more or doing more. It has to start with Jesus. Our faith, if we want to become more faithful, if we want to overcome the doubts in our lives, we have got to keep focused on Jesus. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures, and it's just said very haphazardly. It's Jesus has come back. You know, he's been arrested and crucified. He died. He was buried. He come back, and he's kind of come back to the disciples, and he's getting ready to go back to heaven, right? And the scriptures tell us that as he's gone and he's getting ready to kind of make his final declaration to everybody, and the Great Commission is what we call it in churches, you know, kind of go out to all the nations, do all this kind of stuff. He's going there. And it says, all those that heard him followed him. They're following Jesus to this point where he's getting ready to give this great commission. And then it has this phrase in your Bible, if you read it. It says, all those who saw him and heard him followed him, but some doubted. People who even saw Jesus, who physically could see him and touch him, come back from the dead, still had doubts. So if you're doubting this morning, that there's things that you're doubting, that's not a sin. It's not something that's going to disqualify you from God's love, because it says in the scripture, there's people who saw Jesus, felt Jesus, knew Jesus, but they still had doubts. But the thing it tells us is they kept following Jesus. They didn't follow him because their doubts had gone away. They didn't follow him because all of a sudden they had all this immense faith and they're like, you know what? Yeah, I believe everything. I see everything. I know it. No. It says they were following Jesus. Like, this is after they knew who he was. They were following him and they still had doubts. But they didn't stop following him. They just didn't. You know what? I still have doubts. I still have questions. I don't get this. I don't know where he's going with this. But you know what? I'm all in. I don't have to have all my questions answered. I just know this is the direction I need to go. I know that this is who I need to be following. If you want to grow your faith, if you want to be able to answer that call, oh, come all ye faithful, you've got to keep following Jesus. It doesn't mean you get rid of all your doubts. It just means in the midst of your doubts, you have faith in the one that has the questions answered, even when you don't. So not only does Jesus help us become more faithful, he helps us to become more joyful. He helps us to become more joyful. We know this, the fruit of the Spirit passage that we find in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? It's right there. He helps us to become more joyful. Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful. We may not always feel like we're joyful, but that's the fruit that God gives us. I heard a story a long time ago, and I'm gonna share it with you because I thought it was kind of funny. You know, I could imagine my kids doing this. There was a boy, early teens, maybe, you know, 12, 13 years old, and outside of his window was a tree. And in the neighborhood he lived in, especially during the summertime, all his friends that lived in the neighborhood with him, they would try to sneak out of their houses and hang out and do things late at night once their parents went to bed, kind of some neighborhood mischief, or just kind of hang around with each other or whatever. So the boy would wait till all his parents went to sleep. He would open up his window. The tree was right next to his bedroom window. He would climb out on that tree and climb down and go hang out with his buddies at night, then climb back up the tree, get back in his bed sometime in the early morning, and going back to sleep, and his parents were none the wiser. One day, he got up, and they were having breakfast, and he heard his dad tell his mom, "Hey, look, that tree beside the house, I'm going to get that thing cut down this week." And the boy heard this and knew that if this tree's down, I can't hang out anymore. So he said, "Dad, why do you want to cut down that tree?" And he said, "Well, son, that it's a fruit tree, but the whole time you've been alive, it has never bared fruit." He's like, "It's just there." He was like, "It's not doing us any good. It's just taking up space. I'm tired of it. We're going to get rid of it." So the boy had an idea. So that next night, when he decided to sneak out of the house, he went to all his buddies. He said, "Look, my dad's going to cut down this tree. I'm not going to be able to hang out with you guys anymore. So let's do this. Like, everybody bring me all your apples." So everybody brought him all the apples they had, and they went out there that night, and they actually tied apples to all the tree limbs, right? This kid thought he could pull one over on his parents. So he went back in, went back to sleep. Next morning, he got up. They had finished breakfast. His dad walked outside, and his dad came back in. He was yelling. He's like, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle! Y'all are not going to believe this." The kid knew, "Yes, I saved that tree." So the mom's like, "What happened?" He was like, "The tree outside." He was like, "It has fruit on it." And his mom was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yes." He was like, "But the crazy thing is there's apples and it's a pear tree." Like, it's nuts, right? Like, the tree is only going to produce the fruit that it should be producing. And that's how it is in our lives as believers. If we're not keeping our eyes on Jesus, if we're not following Jesus, if this isn't the thing that we need to be focusing on and moving toward, how are we going to be joyful? We cannot manufacture joy in our lives. It is impossible. Joy only comes from that relationship with God. Only. You cannot create joy any other way. Just like you can't get an apple from a pear tree, you can't get joy from anything outside of Jesus. That's it. The thing of it is, a lot of times we confuse joy with happiness. But here's the thing. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on Jesus. So if you want to be happy, then look around at the external things in your life. You know, you can buy more things, go more places, do whatever. It will make you happy for a season. But if you want this joy that the scriptures talk about, if we want this joy that we sing about, this joy is only found in Jesus. That's it. You can't manufacture it. You can't produce it. You can't create it. It will not blossom in you outside of the Spirit of God. So Jesus helps us become more faithful. Jesus helps us to become more joyful. Luke 2 says this, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great what? Joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you.'" Jesus helps us to become more faithful. He helps us to become more joyful. And lastly, Jesus helps us to become more triumphant. Jesus helps us to become more triumphant. You know the reasons why gangs are so immensely popular, and they have been since the beginning of time, you know, groups or cliques or gangs or whatever you want to call them? It's because there's power in number. You get somebody out by themselves and they feel like they're being attacked or whatever, they're facing some kind of obstacle, they're a lot more scared than if they have somebody around them that kind of shares in the same belief system, same thing that they do. You know, there's power in numbers, whether it's one person or two person or 30 people. They're all in it together. They feel like, man, we can do this. There's something about having somebody that has your back that all of a sudden makes you feel a lot more powerful than you are. Several years ago, it was when I was at a previous church. It was happening around Christmas time. We decided to have a Christmas little get-together over at our house, and a lot of people from church came over, and there was people inside, there were outside. We had a little fire pit going, and it was a cover dish, and all these people had brought food, and we were just, night was going on. It was great. And one of the people that came that night, and I called this guy the mayor of Kernersville, and some of you may know him, Jeremy Morris. Now, I don't know how many of you know Jeremy, but if you've ever been to Walmart, you know Jeremy. Jeremy is a guy, he greets you at the door. He's like 7 feet tall, 350 pounds, biggest mustache you've ever seen in the world. I mean, that is Jeremy. Jeremy is like this gentle giant. Somehow, Jeremy goes to 14 churches every Sunday. And he does. Everybody knows Jeremy around Kernersville. And Jeremy was coming to that church I was at the time, and he found out about our party, so he was like, I'm coming. So Jeremy was there. Jeremy is like this gentle giant. I mean, as big as he is, he has like the heart the size of Jesus. I mean, he just loves God. He loves people. I mean, he is just the kindest, gentlest man that you'll ever meet in your life. So Jeremy was there at our party, and he was hanging out, and he was eating food and laughing, talking, everything was going on. And we had a new family that had just started visiting. Some of you guys know the Worrells. You know, Sean and Sherry Worrell. And Sean and Sherry had just started visiting our church at the time, and this was like the first church event that they had ever come to. And so they came over to our house that night, and they were there, and we were outside, and Jeremy had never met Sean before, and Sean had never met Jeremy before, and a group of us were all kind of standing outside by the fire pit, and we were just laughing and talking. And if y'all know Sean is just like, he never shuts up, right? I mean, he's just always talking, always laughing, always cracking jokes. I mean, that's just him. He's there, right? If he's breathing, he's saying something sarcastic and funny. I mean, that's just him. Great personality, huge personality. And so I got to know Sean just a little bit, not real well, but I knew him just a little bit at the time. And he said something to me that night, and I can't remember what he said, but it was something kind of sarcastic, funny, kind of jab at me. Jeremy heard this. And Jeremy, this gentle giant, all of a sudden bowed up. And he said, "What did you say to my pastor?" And Sean's eyes got like as big around as grapefruits. And he was like, And he was like, "No one will talk about Pastor Mike that way. No one will say that to him. I will beat them." And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Who is this guy?" But all of a sudden, I'm like, "Yeah." You know, like, I'm standing behind Jeremy like, "That's right." You know, like, all of a sudden, I have this bodyguard now. And Jeremy just is like erupting. He's like, "I will not." And he was all serious and everything. And Sean's like, "I was just picking, man. I'm sorry. I was just joking." And I was like, "Jeremy," he was just joking. Jeremy went on for 5 more minutes. "I will not let anybody talk about him. I will not let, yeah, I love you. I will not." And I was like, "All right, right?" But in that moment, I felt triumphant, right? I was just like, there is nobody on earth that can touch Pastor Mike. I mean, that is just it. Like, bring it on. Like, I know I got Jeremy. But, you know, that's the way life is. So many times in our minds, what we get focused on, let's just read this, Isaiah chapter 9. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." We kind of pause right there in those scriptures, and what we get in our mind about Jesus is what I like to call the Ricky Bobby little baby Jesus, right? Like, that's who we want to think about. We think about I just want to think about little baby Jesus. That's all I want to think. That's what I want to pray to. That's what I want to think about. And when you talk about a little baby defending you, you're like, no, there's not, right? But what if we kept going when we talked about Jesus? What if Jesus didn't stop there at that little baby in a manger like we often kind of keep him at? Because the rest of the passage says this, "And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Man, if we want to feel triumphant, we got to realize who's on our side and who's fighting for us. It's not just about what we can fight. It's not about us fighting our addictions on our own. It's not about us just fighting a negative mindset on our own. It's not about us just fighting just the principalities of evil on our own. It's about recognizing that we have a Savior, that it is not just a child, that is not just a son, but he's all of these things. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing comes to being without him speaking it into existence. He is the chosen one that is here to save us from our sin. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Prince of Peace, the bread of life, the light of the world, the Savior and lifter of our head. He is born the King of Angels. We come and adore him, for he is Christ the Lord. He is the reason that we can be triumphant. He is the reason that we can be faithful. He is the reason that we can be joyful. We can't be all of these things on our own. As we sing that verse, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant," we can sing that not because we are, but because he is. Amen? That is what it represents. Today may be the first day in your life that you're realizing this truth. It is not up to you to manufacture your own faith. It's not up to you to manufacture your own joy. It's not up to you to fight your own battles. That we have a God that says, "I love you so much. I have sent my son not to remain a baby, but to grow and to be a Savior, to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that will call you into being more faithful, that will call you into being more joyful, that will call you into an attitude of being triumphant." So we can sing that song, and we can sing it with all of our hearts and our souls, and we can believe it not because we are, but because he is, not because we are already there, but because he is taking us there. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. This morning you may say, "Mike, I am the opposite of all of those things. I am not faithful, I am doubtful. I am not joyful, I am depressed. I am not triumphant. Feel defeated." Jesus says, "I'll take it. I'll take your doubts and I'll give you faith. I'll take your depression and I will give you joy. I will take the defeat that you feel in your life, and through me, by me, I will make you triumphant." That is a reason to celebrate, not just at Christmas, not just today, not just on this second Sunday of Advent, but every day, 365 days a year for the rest of our lives. We don't have to remain doubtful, depressed, and defeated. We have a God that is calling us, naming us faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for, first of all, that song. Just the fact that we could come in here a few moments ago and sing it, and hopefully now recognize that we don't already have to be at a place where we can sing that with confidence. And ultimately, the goal for you in our lives is transformation. To be new creations. That the doubt and the depression and the defeat that we often fear in our lives, whether it's a cloud that covers all of our lives, or maybe it's something within our marriage or our finances, our jobs, our relationship with our kids, our relationship with our parents, our relationship with you. God, it doesn't have to stay that way. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to try to do it all on our own. That it's not up to us to be more faithful. It is our job just to keep our eyes on the one who is faithful, and which is you. The job, God, that we understand that we can't, is impossible to manufacture our own joy. We may be able to create happiness based on the happenings of our lives. But God, if we truly want joy in the midst of all circumstances, that only comes from you. And God, if there's any area of our lives that we just feel defeated, my prayer this morning is that we realize that you are the one who brings victory. That we're not fighting these battles alone. We're not in it alone. It's not up to us. It's not up to how hard we work or how much we do or how brave or strong or fearless we think we are. Hey God, it starts with you and recognizing that you are the one who fights for us. You are the one who gives us victory. Victory over demons, victory over addictions, victory over those sins in our lives, the ways that we often feel like we trip and fail and fall and disappoint. God, you give us victory over that. So God, let us hear this morning that you are calling us, oh come, all ye weary, weak, and sinners, and let me transform you into a new creation that is faithful, joyful, and triumphant. God, thank you for this season. Thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of these things. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.